It's a hot start here for draft number 27 of my 2024 best ball drafts here on the Splash Play channel. And today we're going to try to find any sliver of an edge that we can find. Is there any edge left with the combine already happened? Free agency coming up in a week. What can we figure out? What can we get an advantage on here? Let's find it out. I am already in a draft room here, so we are going to get the pure uncut draft experience today. I've been threatening it on stream. I snuck into a draft room before anybody could get in here with me, so no regulars. We'll see what the normies are doing in a draft here today on Splash Play. CeeDee Lamb, come on down to the two hole. I probably would have gotten him in one of our drafts as well, but we are happy to get him in the number two pick. Nice, Spags. Here we go. I'm pulling some tricks. Oh, no. Sorry, Travioli. Look, here's what I'll say. I think what I'm going to try to do, because look, I warned you guys, I was going to have to do this from time to time just to get different draft rooms where it's not everybody who wants to do the same players as me. That's just, unfortunately, the content game here, baby. I got to stay ahead of the curve. But also, I think what I'm going to do is we'll have competitive days here where I will tip off the chat before I come into a draft room, and then you will get your chance to be in the limelight. So I will try to balance it out a little bit better. But you got to understand, we got different masters to serve here. And frankly, too, sometimes I get comments from people after the stream who are like, oh, you know what? Like, that was a really helpful stream because it wasn't the same things as, you know, every other time you're doing a draft. We have a lot of people trying to take the same players as me, a lot of people trying to hit the same stacks and all of that as me. So I think that's sometimes a thing that can make the content a little bit more narrow. So trying to broaden things here and maybe get myself some sick values along the way. Reach out to Underdog, promo code SPLASH on there, double your deposit up to $100. If you want to be a sign up, also get a mystery pick'em along with that, which is one of those sweet little soft ones, 0.5 points in a basketball game kind of stuff. So check that out for yourself at Underdog. And again, happy to be with them for another year. I feel like on social media now, the new trend is already posting there. My Underdog extension's kicking in and I'm excited to be. And I'm like, fuck, I didn't know that we were doing like free agency style announcements. Because I just said it here on stream. And granted, you know, with the same enthusiasm and all that, but the Underdog world is definitely thriving there and a lot of good names. I saw our guy Ron Stewart over there has been on the stream. Of course, Splash Play alum Ron Stewart, who has been, I think, a great content creator as well, doing some mock drafts I saw, or he calls them the better SEO-friendly version, the fantasy football mock drafts. I, of course, just call them best ball drafts because I'm lazy and I don't want to chase SEO anymore quite as much. So, but I saw he resigned. I think the stock exchange guys did as well. So feeling good. Started early this time. There we go. Look, I told you. I warned you and I told you. Unfortunately, it'll be my last live stream of the week. Umpiring at Rough Rider Stadium. That's pretty cool. I didn't know that we had umpires amongst us. Shout out Chunk here. Chunk, of course, very generous yesterday, gifting some memberships, which is a very much appreciated thing on the channel. So if you got a membership yesterday, good news. You are going to be on the credits today. Of course, of all the fine folks helped me put on Splash Play. Saquon Barkley going at 15. Reports coming out that the Giants actively, seemingly do not want him back. Obviously, there's a price point where I'm sure they'd be willing to take him back as a sign of goodwill for moving forward. But for Saquon, does seem like, we've talked about before, he might want $10 million or more. He and Josh Jacobs, the two guys that do seemingly have put out signals about that. So I would say for Saquon, I'm just going to put the football on screen here. This is really show that I know what I'm talking about here. For Saquon, I think that there is a shot that he really ends up somewhere where he's going to have to take a price discount. The upside for him is like maybe that means luck boxing a late Dolphins spot. I can't imagine that, but like, you know, he really, with how it goes, where I dig my heels in on Saquon, don't think he's good, then he goes somewhere where it's like you can't fail, you know, then he would certainly be a better play. But I think with where he is right now, pick 15, I mean, we saw him go at pick 43 on a stream the other day, so pick 15, not what I would try to do, especially with that uncertainty. Actually, starting early, get really tired of seeing the nonstop chat snipes. Hey, look, all right, I appreciate somebody saying that out loud. It's unfortunately the nature of the game sometimes, but we will adapt and you'll still get your shots to compete with me here on stream. But some days we got to go a little wacky, go a little cray cray. A lot more wide receivers, by the way, on the board here. So we do have Devontae Adams, who's coming up. Debo falling a little bit. Really the pick of the litter, though. I'm going to go Devontae. I think Russ being there, still an option. Fields reuniting with Luke Getsy there, still an option. Both guys, I think, would do a fine job feeding Adams. And even if they take a rookie, you know, to improve on Aiden O'Connell, I think it still ends up pretty well for them. All right. We could do just buy the books, buy ADP. We can have some fun and reach for neighbors. But I think I'm just going to go buy the books. I think this is a room where I can absorb a good amount of value because it's not one of our usual rooms. So I'm just going to take it by ADP, CeeDee Lamb, Davante Adams, Deebo Samuel. So those are my start here from the two hole. And we'll see how deep we go at wide receiver. Interesting piece of content on Spike Week. Billy Jones, a guy who I like a lot, has also been very kind to Splash Play on social media in the past. So shout out to him. I think he's writing a weekly article now or somewhat regular article for Spike Week. And he broke down like zero RB usage and how zero RB usage over the last, you know, three BBMs has gone up. But, you know, still people going extreme zero RB. It was on the lower end where we're talking under 10%. So I do think that, you know, there's going to be more and more people going five rounds of wide receivers. If you do go six and you cut off the position entirely, you're going to be getting more unique. But I think definitely, you know, four rounds of wide receiver, that is still technically zero RB, but is not going to be like, it's not going to be an unseen zero RB. It's going to be one that's pretty chalky. And I thought that was what Billy did a good job in his article on Spike Week talking about. I don't have a link for it on hand, but if you just go to Spike Week's Twitter, you should be able to find it or buy him for us. But yeah, like basically he was talking about that and how you end up with chalky zero RB builds. We end up with the same portfolio too. And it was an interesting way to think about it for sure. Even though, you know, we shall see. We shall see how anything goes. Obviously in year, it just comes down to getting the right combo. Who's going to be the top scoring wide receiver from that 2-3 turn area? I predict Diggs or Devontae. I feel like Deebo is the highest weekly ceiling on that turn. I mean, Deebo still has the out of Ayuk getting traded, which is not, you know, I know it's not the most likely outcome, but it's still a possible one given that he can force his way to a bigger contract. And, you know, that might be the move. And we've seen already some social media signal from people in a circle kind of putting that out there, whether that's him or not. Obviously, he doesn't speak for them, or they don't speak for him, rather. But I would say around this turn, Deebo, I think, still has upside. I like Tank. Again, really do feel like Houston is alive to take somebody on an outside receiver role. And just adding, you know, they were flirting with Mike Evans a little bit, it seemed. They could get a rookie in. Now a lot of guys who could make sense there. Brian Thomas would be great. Troy Franklin, I think, would be great. Really, we talk about Houston now alongside Kansas City and Buffalo being any spot that you get a downfield target. You're going to be pretty excited about them. So I think Tank, I don't mind. Diggs is undervalued too. Apparently the talk is that, I mean, we've said this for weeks, but Gabe Davis not likely to be back. So Diggs, they feel like, is the wide receiver one. They feel like he just got unlucky down the home stretch. That was a report that came out over the combine. So I think you really can't go wrong here is kind of the main thing. Evans is going back to Tampa Bay. You know, they're going to re-sign Baker, you think. Obviously, Baker, there's a shot that somebody could come out of left field, maybe Minnesota, who seems like they are now trending towards losing Kirk Cousins because they won't give him a guaranteed second year on a contract. So somebody's got to go to Minnesota. It could be a rookie. It could be Minnesota to me is pretty wide open, actually. So we'll see what happens there. But point being, I think it's most likely Tampa Bay gets Baker back, and that's probably good news for Mike Evans. Let's see. Reading the chat here. All right. 34 new lives. This year is my 20th year umping at all levels. Wow. Since 14? That's a lot of umping. That's a lot of umping for anybody. Kudos to you. All right. So this draft room, nothing too crazy so far. Romo Dunze going at 38. I feel like is an interesting one. You could make the case here going off the title of the video. If you want to say there's an edge, I do think Dunze at this point, if we're going to say that Neighbors is, well, wait, where did Neighbors go in this room? Neighbors went 31. I don't know how I was missing that. Neighbors went 31. Odunze at 38, a little bit of a reach, but I would say if there's an edge, it's probably taking him there now because the draft capital between Odunze and Neighbors is not going to be that big of a discrepancy. And frankly, at this point, Harrison isn't going to be that big of a discrepancy either. Obviously, that doesn't mean that they're all going to be the same level of performer. You do expect Harrison to be the top performer, but with what Odunze put up at the combine, I think that you should feel pretty good about taking him. I would take him ahead of Keenan Allen. I don't think Metcalf should be 37. Really, I just a range at wide receiver. I really don't mind anybody here, but I feel like to me, Odunze probably appropriately priced going ahead of Devontae Smith. Mari Cooper maybe a little bit underpriced, but he is getting older. And Cleveland rumored to be going after Jerry Jeudy potentially, which would obviously do interesting things for both Cleveland, where Elijah Moore, I think, would become worthless. It would hurt Amari Cooper for sure, because Cooper is really benefiting by being, you know, the one reliable target they can get out there. Not that Judy's a reliable target, but he's just somebody that's going to take, you know, 5 to 7 targets away. So that would definitely open things up for Mims as well, which is another quote that was in Matthew Berry's combine piece, if you missed that on NBC's website. All right, so 0-0-3-0. We can keep pounding at wide receiver. We could go for our first running back, and it would not be a shameful thing at this point. I've not gotten many shares of Jaden Reed, and I'm comfortable getting one here. Jaden, wide receiver 4. And in this room, too, you know, we're not going to get quite as avalanched, I guess, though every room now with where wide receiver ADPs are in the big board on Underdog, you're going to get avalanched a little bit. But because this isn't a normal splash play room, because we started a little bit before the stream time starts, we are going to get a little bit of a different texture, I think, than usual. All right, so 0-0-4-0 here. Calvin Ridley probably going to get a good free agent outcome because there's just nobody else left at the position. So I wouldn't mind taking him. I actually do think he's going to come up. So you know what? Let's make this room get uncomfortable at wide receiver. Taking Calvin Ridley. The tough part for me for a guy like Calvin Ridley is, like, I kind of think Brian Thomas might be a better play going later. You know, Ridley is going to get the best free agent deal at wide receiver just because there's nobody else there. Well, Brian Thomas goes 2 picks after anyways. There we go. But I do think Brian Thomas, like, yeah, Brian Thomas should probably be around here. These rookies this year are crazy, man. Like, it's insane how Brian Thomas is 52, and, like, he wasn't a guy that I was insane about or anything. I thought there was a good shot, high EPA receiver, I think 0.7 EPA per target, and very good downfield as well. But I thought, you know, like, neighbors being there, that makes it easy for you to be successful. But then him being that level of athlete and, you know, still commanding, you know, 24% target rate while playing alongside the neighbors, I'm starting to view it in more of a positive lens. But him at 52, man, it's just 52 is steep. Like Brian Thomas, but I don't love him. The tough part is when you watch him play, he was just so open on every play. And obviously, I think, again, that's a large reason why I believe neighbors being so good underneath, such a threat to catch a 5-yard pass, a 10-yard pass, and break that into 50, I think is really a big thing that helped out Brian Thomas. But that said, like, he was still getting wide open and getting into completely open space. So I think that's a really, I think getting a little bit ahead of the rookies that have the combo of analytics and the combine stuff, I feel more comfortable with. So to me, that is Brian Thomas. That is Odunze. Let's see. Let me go back to my wide receiver sheet. I have running back open. It's Adonai Mitchell as well. I think the size for him is a big difference to me. It is Ladd McConkey to some extent. He was a 0.41 EPA guy 2 years ago. I think the target earning is a concern for me. Still think there's some fast Hunter Renfro to him, but I would say Ladd would fit that criteria. But I think just really trying to get up Leggett, of course, who I've caped for earlier than a lot of people out there. The AJ Brown comps, again, one of the biggest joys of my life is hearing people at the combine going, he's got a lot like AJ Brown. Cause I said that and I was like, is this fucking insane that this guy seems like AJ Brown? But I've been happy with the Leggett stuff. But I think some of these guys where it's like, they look good. We've talked about him for about 2 months now on Splash Play. And then also they passed the combine with flying colors. I think those guys trying to be clear for takeoff is probably a little bit better. Leggett's not going to get Brian Thomas draft capital. Like, I wouldn't take him that highly, but Leggett going in the 140s, I'm pretty comfortable with. Talk about run rate for Thomas versus Ladd. Thomas was at 23%. Ladd for 2 years ago was at 26% because he did not qualify amongst the top 200 receivers in this past year. Spags, you settle an argument for me. Would you rather have Cam Newton or Sam Hartman start the year for your team day one this year? Oof. I would take the shot on the upside of Sam Hartman and his movie star good looks, I think, both those things. Cam just had nothing left. We know he had nothing left. I guess it's possible you could scheme Cam into a better situation if he had great coaching. But I, like, you know, it depends. So that'd be the big thing is, like, is it a good coaching staff or is it the Patriots a couple years ago? If it's the Patriots a couple years ago, I'd rather go Sam Hartman. And if it's, you know, if it's going to be like Mike McDaniels or I don't know, who would be somebody that's going to really scheme a good QB running offense? Somebody in the Shanahan tree you could probably talk me into as well. Then it'd be like, yeah, all right, I'll take one more shot on Cam Newton. Like, you saw in that fight video of him fighting off fucking 7 dudes, like he's still got some juice, even though, you know, maybe not as much lately on the football field. Ladd and Thomas are both the second option of their team, so it makes sense. Both behind top 10 talent, so that's something. Sure. I know we have to defend Ladd here on the show. Our guy Adam, though, was right about him, so I can't give him. Can't be too mean about the Ladd biases, given that they've paid dividends for somebody out there, I'm sure. All right, so we've got CeeDee Lamb, we've got Devontae Adams, we've got Debo, we've got Jaden Reed. This is actually a very nice team at this point, honestly. And how do we make it nicer? I think we take Brock Bowers. This is a pretty good discount on JSN. This is a pretty good discount on JSN. Is this guy going to take Bowers from me, do you think? You know what? If he does, he's probably doing me a favor anyway. I would love to get another share of Brock Bowers. Still very happy to take him. Again, another rookie. Did not show anything at the combine because he didn't compete. But I think in general, you know, him being a guy that had such production, was such a high-level prospect for so long, I feel pretty comfortable taking him here. Okay, so Bowers is available. Dak would also make sense with CeeDee Lamb. You know, Dak with the contract stuff, a little bit weird right now. It's not going to affect him playing. I would rather shore myself up at tight end and take Brock Bowers here because I think I can get Dak's performance somewhere else at QB. And, Dak goes to pick after me to a guy who already has Josh Allen. So we're now seeing the flip side of the rooms, of course, where splash play rooms, where it's a lot of the regulars in chat. We do get people then, you know, making nice stacks and all of that, taking players that I like, taking stacks and all that are pretty much consensus agreed upon, good stacks. Here you get a guy who's like, yeah, I'm going to take Travis Kelce and George Kittle and Dak Prescott and Josh Allen. And correlation, no, I'm just taking fun guys. I guess he has James Cook with Josh Allen, but actually, this is Ant. Isn't this the guy from Pete's show? I think it is. So never mind. He's just drafting, I guess. Unless it's a different guy. I don't know. I don't know that dude, so. Boo to the Dak feed. Ferguson gets just as much production, if not more, than Bowers. Maybe. Just depends where Bowers goes. I think if Bowers does go, I've said Carolina enough times, because seeing a vacated target tree is always going to be really appealing for me for a guy coming in. I think that Seattle. So all their guys are free agents and they cut Will Disley. Seattle might be interesting because I think, again, Tyler Lockett, maybe not 100% to come back. A new coaching regime probably doesn't make that a higher probability. I would say it's still a pure 50-50 on that. So if they have Metcalf, JSN, and Brock Bowers, and then they also have a more downfield attack like Ryan Grubb had at Washington, I think that it would be a very good thing for everybody there. Even though the team's going to be a little more defensively minded, still definitely going to run the ball aggressively. You know, I think going to bring some Raven style principles, but you're going to run to set up the pass and you are going to take downfield shots. I just don't know why you would bring in what Washington's offense was last year if you're not going to take downfield shots. So to me, Brock Bowers could probably do well there too. But again, it's just like you're competing with DK Metcalf, who I think would also really benefit in that situation. Troy Franklin, even in this room, goes 85. So Troy Franklin, I'm surprised. I feel like I've seen enough people be really down on him that I can't believe I'm not getting him in this room, but we're fine with that. We're an extreme zero RB team, so we're basically done at wide receiver for a little bit here. Four more to join this Splash Play Friends and Family Draft NFL early. Oh, the drafters NFL. Okay, well, there you go. If you want to go sign up those guys or check those guys out, go ahead and use that promo code SPLASH. Drafters, I think it is still valid. So promo code SPLASH on there. Double your deposit up to $100. If you want to go draft with Tyler and the gang. Got a parallel draft going. We're running multiple tables here all at the same time. Jacoby Myers at 87 is a wild one to me. I would take Mitchell. I would do Mitchell a lot. Also, interesting that Franklin went ahead of Mitchell in this room. So we are really seeing some different stuff. So, no, again, no disrespect to the regulars who I know love being in the draft rooms. I think it's fun to, like, you know, be a part of the thing. And it is a fun of the splash part of Splash Play. So I don't want to, like, take that away fully. But we are seeing some different stuff here, which I think is interesting. To see Mitchell valued after Jacoby Myers is mind-blowing to me. After Dobbs is mind-blowing to me. One of the reports in Matthew Berry's column, by the way, about his combine stuff, which was a really good read, by the way, a great read every year for him since he's been going to combine. Let me make the pick here and I'll try to remember what I was talking about. What does this guy have? He's got McCaffrey. I'm going to take Brock Purdy to lock this down. The issue with Brock Purdy for me is taking him at this range. I still feel like Brock Purdy is not a cozy 2QB build for me. I would rather get 3 if I can get that with Purdy. Whereas like for Herbert, I don't know if that's just a kind of like a mental block, I feel like. Because Herbert's not better than Brock Purdy and probably wasn't better per game in any sort of metric. Yet I'm like, oh, Herbert, he could be as part of a 2QB build. So I think Purdy should be more comfortable with him as part of a 2QB build. All right, on the clock here. What should I do? Nick Chubb is still not a good value at this range. I think Eckler is. Can't imagine Eckler is going to hold a team up for money. So Eckler will be our first running back off the board. Team so far, an extreme zero RB build. We went extreme, bro. We're drinking Mountain Dew here. We're drinking Surge is what we're doing. Brock Purdy, Austin Eckler, CeeDee Lamb, Devontae Adams, Deebo Samuel, Jaden Reed, Calvin Ridley, JSN, and Brock Bowers. So we're not stacked up anywhere yet besides the Purdy-Deebo portion of things. But I like the team, man. I think we are taking advantage of a room that is softer than the ones we've been in. And Trey Benson goes at 100 in this room. So things are moving around. We are getting wild. This is extreme. Multiple X's. Eckler season. Okay, good. I'm glad I didn't read the chat before I clicked Eckler. So I'm glad you guys were on board with it. Do you ever watch the show An Animal Planet called The Most Extreme? I have not. Is it about extreme animals? Is Spuds McKenzie, the former beer icon of my very, very young childhood, is he extreme enough for you? I think so. Marquise Brown had a debate with a guy on social media who I actively don't like. If any of you guys follow RotoSurgeon, just somebody who I just don't enjoy following on Twitter, but you know, you follow people in the industry because they say interesting things or whatever. And just every engagement I've ever had with him is like so unpleasant. And again, I don't know if anybody follows him because he does have a lot of followers and you get a lot of engagements. Maybe you do. But just like he was like Marquise Brown, because one of the guys who does, I think, draft analysis stuff had posted like a comment for me from Splashplay saying like that Xavier Worthy is basically another Marquise Brown and I don't want to do that again. And I still fundamentally do agree with that. If Marquise Brown lands in Buffalo, Kansas City, Houston, yeah, then all right, Marquise Brown, I'm back in. But if he goes to somewhere like New England, I don't want to do the Marquise Brown shit again. But the guy was like replying, the RotoSurgeon guy was replying to it and like, oh, well, having Marquise Brown to be the greatest thing ever. And it's like, okay, dude, he hasn't had a 100-yard game since week 3 of 2022. He's a minus EPA receiver per target. Guys in that Arizona offense last year had spike weeks. So yeah, Marquise Brown is not dead because he's fast and whatever, and he can land somewhere good. But like, we got to stop caping for guys just because like you liked them at one point in life. So I don't know, just Marquise Brown now. I will forever be tying him to this dude who I just do not enjoy on social media. Just like people who like don't, you know, and it's hard because, you know, I get you want to debate and stuff on Twitter. People have time. I don't enjoy that. So like, I'll give a couple of replies or whatever if I see something interesting and want to engage with it. But I don't want to do like 4 or 5 back and forth where you're just like, ah, here's the thing I believe. Fucking just gorilla style. No, thank you. Hollywood looked like he lost a step too. I mean, he was a minus EPA receiver to be that fast in an offense where like Josh Dobbs was cooking for a while. Like, I know we don't want to hear that, but like he created production for guys. Like fucking Rondale Moore had a spike week. Greg Dortch had a spike week. McBride had multiple spike weeks with a QB situation there. So why did Hollywood Brown? I mean, he played enough games too before he got hurt. But we keep going back to the well because it's like, oh yeah, we liked him a couple years ago in the Ravens, and he's been a wide receiver 1 for 2 years and didn't do anything. I think that's a really bad sign unless he goes somewhere and becomes a wide receiver 2. If he's going to go to Kansas City and there's going to be Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce working in the middle of the field underneath routes, which was a report coming out of the combine as well, that Rashee Rice, they want to be doing mirror routes to Travis Kelce to really work the middle of the field. So don't expect that A dot for Rashee Rice to go up. But yeah, like if Hollywood Brown's going to be there getting downfield targets off that, being Justin Watson and MVS, he's going to crush. But like if he goes to New England, if he goes to Vegas, like what is it going to do for you? I don't like a lot. Purdy, Eckler, 6 wide receivers, tight end. And yet here we are getting our beautiful boys. Although I could play Ridley coming back to Jacksonville, but I'm not going to. I would rather have Jaden Daniels and Trevor Lawrence. Jaden Daniels can make all the mistakes at the combine he wants. He's still the best analytics QB that I've seen now in 3 years of doing this really aggressively of looking at the advanced analytics before the draft. So for me, Jaden Daniels, I'm happy to get him in a normal room here. What a treat, man. What a treat just be getting guys. Troy Franklin, the only one that eluded me. Drake May goes as well before Trevor Lawrence, which, yikes, tough scene. Tough scene for T-Law. Ty Chandler, positive juju for him. Chuba Hubbard, some nice quotes from Dave Canales about him at the combine. I'm actually pretty okay working these guys into the portfolio more. I think they should be keys or RB parts. Neither correlates to anything, though. I do think Bowers going to Carolina can make sense, so I'm gonna take Chuba here. Team so far, Brock Purdy, Jaden Daniels. This could be a 2 QB build, I think, if I hold steady. Austin Eckler, Chuba Hubbard at running back, wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, Davante Adams, Deebo Samuel, Jaden Reed, Calvin Ridley, JSN, and a tight end, Brock Bowers. We got it. Tyler's also removed Hollywood from his player pool. Okay, look, I'm happy to take Hollywood Brown at a discount. Like, I've seen him go in the 120s. It's fine. I still think, again, if he goes to KC, if he's the Gabe Davis replacement in Buffalo, I don't know how they'd make that work contract-wise, but theoretically, then yeah, like, he's probably going to pay off. Like, he'll probably go up 40 picks in ADP. But for right now, you know, taking him at 100, it's still a little bit rich. Taking him where he was going last year was very rich, and that was, like, probably one of the worst picks at ADP overall in drafts. I'm going to cough. Please excuse me while I mute the microphone. One day I'll be not sick again, but that day is not today. Shout out to everybody watching live here. After that, again, if you are enjoying this content, want more drafts daily, I do drafts Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. So please subscribe down below. Hit that like button as well. Helps me stay ahead of the curve here on YouTube, where the algorithm is constantly a pain in the butt for creators, much like me. So hit that like button. And of course, subscribe as well. We're on that march down to 4K subs, and we can't get there without you guys hitting on that like button and subscribe button. Hitting on it. I want you flirting with it. I want you to, like, put your arm up and go, hey, so you... You want to get a like today? please, everybody hit their like button just like that. We all know what that is. I'm not even going to say it. We all know what we're doing. Thank you. The coughing motion on mute was so hot. Yeah, look, man. I got to keep pressing. My throat, my nose, it's all been tough, but we got giraffes. Thank you. I did it for Tyler. Yeah, if you want the full experience here, right, we'll go full screen. Here, just put your butt up to the screen. And there you go. Only on Splash Play. Gabe Davis, pick 137. Again, not going back to Buffalo. Jerry Jeudy, though, live to get traded somewhere that could be an upgrade. Cleveland was the rumor that I saw today in the Legit Football newsletter, which is a good one to get for yourself. If you just want daily news updates, I think they do a very good job combing through what's relevant and mostly fantasy focused, even though it is not a fantasy newsletter. But you know, for Jerry Jeudy, he could definitely be somewhere better. And I think, again, if he goes somewhere else, Mims is probably really undervalued right now. And it does feel like Judy's on the market. So Jerry Jeudy to me, I think a not bad pick at 135. Brandon Cooks is the one I feel like in this range where I have not been able to click at all. Thank you. Only Spags will virtually finger your butt live for no super chat needed. That's what we're here for at the end of the day. It's a service-based industry. Again, we're just crushing it running back. Roshan comes back to me. Happy to do that. Roshan, assumption would be that he takes over the lead back role. Khalil Herbert's still in the mix. I guess they could cut him, but they don't need to. Oh, there we go. Thanks for the butt tickle. You get something nice. I appreciate that. Thank you for the super chat, Tyler. $3, and I'll put it wherever you want. What is Nate C. Smith going to do? Oh, he's going for Marshawn Lloyd. He's going up the board. All right. Go get your guys. Obviously, I like Marshawn Lloyd. I think I've got a perfectly fine amount of Marshawn Lloyd, so I'm okay with that. Michael Wilson being his guy. I don't know if I love that for him. Kendre Miller on the board. We could also just lock down the Chicago backfield, which is an interesting play with Caleb Williams likely to take, you know, he's going to take less touchdowns away than Justin Fields. He's still going to take some. Caleb Williams runs more than people know. But I'm going to go Kendre Miller here. I think Kendre Miller undervalued. Alvin Kamara, likely cut candidate. And even if he's not, I just don't know how you can run that back and give him 20 touches a game after what they saw last year. So my team so far, Brock Purdy and Jayden Daniels at QB, at running back, Austin Eckler, Chuba Hubbard, Roshan Johnson, Kendre Miller, at wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, Davante Adams, Deebo Samuel, Jaden Reed, Calvin Ridley, and JSN, and a tight end, Brock Bowers. Is it me, or is this the best team that I've drafted on stream in like the last 2 weeks? Because I think I may be somewhat of a victim of my own non-success, but of you guys hanging out here with me, because the draft rooms have not been this fortuitous, I think, the last few weeks on stream here. So I'm just going to say that out loud, because you got to be thinking it looking at this team. This is a very good team. And this is with people, again, like assuming this is the guy on the club, with Pete, like, this is still a room with sharp drafters and all that. So, like, it's not like we're got a bunch of badges, a bunch of guys who are putting up real drafts. So it's literally just that you guys now have been so trained by both my streams and, of course, other people in the industry, because there's a lot of overlap with Pete's streams, with who else is a good drafter? I mean, I'm sure Ron Stewart's streams. So, you know, a lot of guys out there who are good drafters, and Herzig, ETR guys, shouldn't leave them out, Spike Week guys. So, you know, like, I think that just getting fucking random people on underdog, probably a lot better. I've never felt it this pronouncedly. So I'm sorry to you guys for putting up this sick team right in your face. So first of all, yeah, this team fucks aggressively. Thank you. Yeah, the team does the finger thing for you. Mayer was supposed to print money per Kareem last year, but he was the most disapped? Rook to me. Oh, disappointing. Okay. We disapped was really, I was not ready for that. For Mayer, yeah, he was disappointing. The tough part was that he had a toe injury in the back half of the season, which is when he could have spiked a little bit more. And also, frankly, that team was trying to find its footing with feeding Davante Adams effectively. So it was kind of a tough situation, I think, that for him down the back half. Still think he showed enough. Still think a new chance here with new coaching or new offensive coaching. And again, for whatever Luke Getsy's flaws were, he used Cole Kmet really well to the best of his capabilities and made him a positive EPA receiver, a positive touchdown receiver with big spike weeks. So I think for Mayer, I'm willing to buy in again. And, he is one of those guys. He was a little bit slow with the combine, and maybe that's like the difference, really. But he was such a big target earner at Notre Dame. I don't think you give up on that. He's priced appropriately. That is sure. Rookie tight end set to start slow in general. Yeah, I mean, tight ends is a tough position. That's why Noah Fant, a guy who's a free agent this year, this is around the time that like free agent tight ends really start to break out. It's after that first rookie contract, and then they go out in the market, and they're in their mid-20s, and they're able to block better, as well as you understand how you do the blocking and the route running equally. And for a guy like Noah Fant, who's a freak athlete too, I like him late. He's one of my favorite late tight ends too. Tight end is a pool here. And again, you see too, because we are not in a splash play room, Darren Waller, who I got at pick 200 the other day, going at pick 154, not accounting here. Chino season is not for the retirement risk for Waller. Those rumors are coming in hot and heavy lately, even though I think the more likely outcome is he comes back, but at pick 154, probably would not want to absorb that risk. Jalen Polk, Marvin Mims. I think these guys, very happy to take him in this range. Malachi Corley going the wrong way, not competing at the combine was a bad thing for him. I agree, man. It's one of my least favorites. But, it's like, it takes a lot for me to like say that to somebody directly. I'm just like, I just can't keep playing the game of like, I follow you and you think we're peers. I just don't see it. Audric Estime on the board, but I do think we can get away with letting him slide here. I'm actually going to take Zach Moss, who in free agency has a lot of possible good outcomes. He's not going to price himself out of a deal. Analytically, he was very solid last year. I will pull up Zach Moss numbers because I hate saying things like that without backing. Zach Moss, solid. Actually, he wasn't that great, but was still like basically average. Negative 0.05 EPA per rush, negative 0.05 EPA per reception. Avoided tackle rate of 16%. He's okay, but I do think that one thing I saw on Twitter is maybe he is an Eagles back that they get for cheap. I'm okay taking that. And even though the bloom is off the rose a little bit, getting Audric Estime now in a non-splash play friends and family room at pick 170, I got to do it. 2661 here, Brock Purdy and Jaden Daniels at QB, Austin Eckler, Chuba Hubbard, Roschon Johnson, Kendre Miller, Zach Moss, and Audric Estime at running back. Wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, Davante Adams, Deebo Samuel, Jaden Reed, Calvin Ridley, and JSN. And a tight end, Brock Bowers, holding it down. Zach Moss, the Mendoza line of running backs 2024. Yeah, you know what? Honestly, I really thought he was going to be better in EPA based on some of those games he had. There were the getting stuffed the goal line kind of time periods, which does really hurt running backs because if you're at like the 5-yard line and you don't score a touchdown, basically it really fucks up your EPA because like you're supposed to score a touchdown there, really. So for Zach Moss, that could be something. I'm sure we all remember the games where he was chalk and he had 5 goal line touches and just didn't get a single one in. So that could be it, but for the eye test, that was a little bit better. Ricky Pearsall, have to keep pointing him out. Him going at 175, very solid pick at that range. Elite athlete, guy who I thought was really being carried by Anthony Richardson the year before last, especially when I was watching him in highlight tape. And then this year he did it again. And frankly, it's impressive to see that because QB drop off was really big. So for Pearsall, another guy here who, like Malachi Corley, should not be going 12 picks out of Pearsall. Tez Walker, you can make the case. Tez Walker had a good RAS day as well. And more of an air yards merchant because Drake May forced the ball aggressively downfield at UNC. But Pearsall, I think, to me, he and Tez Walker should both be up here. I think these guys, Jalen Polk, should be there. I would put Corley back down here. Tyler Conklin probably getting a slight artificial bump from the release of CJ Uzomah. Uzomah already wasn't in the mix in the back half of last year, so that shouldn't affect anything you're doing. But I do think that's probably a slight bump there, which it's probably Conklin again at tight end, I guess. So I don't hate the pick of this range. Catch Ricky Pearsall made last year was absolutely insane. He does a lot of big plays, man. He's had a lot of extended plays. He's also had some plays too, where it's like the famous one was like Anthony Richardson. You guys have probably seen it in the rookie highlights from when he was coming into the league. But like basically Richardson, when he was at Florida, does this play where he like bootlegs around, gets guy off his back. They don't realize that the ball like isn't out yet. So then Pearsall is wide open in the end zone and just catches the ball like this. And like nobody's within 10 yards of him. So he had a lot of easy plays too, because of AR, but again, like the guy they had this year, Mertz or whatever the fuck his name is, not good. So for AR to have done that and then Pearsall to keep doing it, very good. Mertz sneakily played. All right, look, I could look up the numbers, but I'm probably not gonna. But I don't think he was certainly not an AR. Trey Palmer, pick 183. I think a good value here. The Trey Palmer now losing one out of Mike Evans, leaving in free agency, that would have really bumped Trey Palmer up. So Trey Palmer appropriately priced, but probably shouldn't be up much higher. He should probably be ahead of Zay Jones, I would think. But I would put him behind Curtis Samuel and Elijah Moore and Pearsall. Solidish. All right. So frustrating, UW. All right. Big P energy. Big P indeed. Did you talk about Corley on Move the Sticks? I did not. What was the download on that? I missed that entirely. Because I didn't think he was hurt. I don't know why he didn't compete. I don't like, there wasn't any reporting on him that I saw. So I'm happy to get any info. But I also didn't look that deeply. I just was like, why? Out of all the guys who needed to be there, especially with all these guys putting on freak days, if you're like a small guy who played at a small school, Malachi Corley come from Western Kentucky, you need to be at the combine doing this shit if you can be. If he's hurt or something, then obviously that's a different thing. Am I still feeling Audric? I'm not feeling him. The rest of the RAS scores are good enough, especially his short explosiveness drills. So I'm okay with him in general. Gino would have been a third QB I'd consider taking, but we don't need him, so it's fine. 2661. We do need that second tight end. So Hunter Henry, I'd be happy to take here. Possible good free agent outcome for him, or just improvement in New England. But Davis Allen, to me, just undervalued. Higbee, not likely to be back with the Rams because of the injury. If he is back, he's going to be on the PUP list and probably going to fall behind Davis Allen, who should prove well as a high EPA guy for what he did last year. So I'm happy to get Davis Allen as my tight end too. Would have considered taking Henry on the way back, but that option has now sailed. Do you need a seventh running back? Philly's going to add somebody in free agency, but I still think Gainwell, we could maybe get somebody in free agency added and they get Rashad Pennied, would I guess be the hope on this bet. So Gainwell, RB7, I think I needed a seventh running back now, more than a seventh wide receiver or a third tight end. So let me give the team a read here for the podcast listeners. Of course, podcast feed getting updated every day now. So if you want the audio versions of these, you can get them too on the go. Brock Purdy and Jane Daniels at QB, Austin Eckler, Chuba Hubbard, Roschon Johnson, Kendre Miller, Zach Moss, Audric Estime, Kenneth Gainwell at running back, and wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, Devontae Adams, Deebo Samuel, Jaden Reed, Calvin Ridley, and JSN. I think we loaded up a wide receiver, so I'm actually pretty happy with this room, even though I imagine I'll add at least one more guy coming up. Brock Bowers, Davis Allen at tight end. I'm actually happy with that room. Davis Allen, I think, criminally undervalued because he just didn't have a big sample size and people were not following the Rams closely enough down the home stretch. So I'm cool with this. Damian Pierce resurgence. He would need Noah Fant goes to 201. Noah Fant would have been a nice pick as well. Damian Pierce resurgence. So he needs Devin Singletary to leave and he needs to really improve his stance with the coaching staff. I don't think that's going to happen. So I'm not the most wanting to bet on him. But if you saw the backfield come back, and it does kind of seem with that deal for Dalton Schultz, seems like the Texans just want to run it back and not try to like get outside of pocket, try to change the thing that helped them get to the second round last year. So I think for me, I would want to not go with Damian Pierce and maybe try to play a rookie going there instead. And the coaching staff, that being their pick, because Pierce wasn't their guy. And I think we saw like Pierce wasn't their guy. But that was one of the ones that I harped, you know, beat the drum on a lot last year. I was team Devin Singletary because like one guy got brought into free agency is like a vet back who can do a little bit of everything. And the other guy had some real big flaws, even though he has some Kenneth Walker style, you know, home run hitting ability. They did not fall in love with Dameon Pierce and they actively fell out of love with him. So it's hard to turn that back with this exact same coaching situation. Pierce doesn't really fit the scheme they ran either. Sure. But you know, he's fast and he's got good lateral movement and he should be able to block. And he should be able to run routes. He just doesn't do it. So that is what it is. Notice I was in your draft and got a sub here. Good drafting. Hey, thank you, Michael. Appreciate that. So there we go. So it's working out in the inverse where today we didn't get all the regulars in the draft room. Instead, we're getting people in the draft who are coming to splash play. So the system works, but glad to have you on board, Michael. Appreciate that very much. And there you go. It's been a positive draft experience for me today. The one thing that I was hoping for is that in this room with less splash play regulars, that Brendan Rice might have come back to me a little bit later. Brendan Rice, of course, had a good combine, but not blow away numbers like everybody else did. So I think he's going under the radar as a guy who was quietly a very good performer in EPA last year and is more than athletic enough to do it at the next level. And I don't think being Jerry Rice's kid and Jerry Rice doing interviews about you and coaching you, I don't think that's a bad thing fundamentally. Not a reason to like bump him up 50 spots in ADP. But like if I'm an NFL coach and I know that like I'm getting Jerry Rice's kid and he's a better athlete than Jerry Rice, I'm going to give it a shot, I think. That's me, though. That's me. Fresh fish on the line. Like, I don't think it's fresh fish. I think we're having nice, sharp guys in here, just different pockets of drafters out there, and that's the goal. Of course, if you're new out here, like some of our folks coming in, do subscribe, hit that like button, leave a comment. Of course, Splash Play, the little engine that could. Doing this by myself every day, Monday to Friday at 11 a.m. And I enjoy the process, and I hope you guys do too. So join us on that journey here. And of course, NBA today, also a big NBA DFS slate. I'll be playing it, already put it in my 150 max entry. So actually, going to look at the data a little bit more after the show. But NBA tonight, going to be a thing that you can use the stochastic promo code Splash on there to save 15% off. Let me make a pick, and then I'll whore for a moment more. Dameon Pierce still on the board. Not a bad pick, but I think we're done. A.T. Perry could make a leap up this year. He was a guy who added 1 point. Basically, every time he was targeted in terms of the EPA metrics, the expected points added stuff. So A.T. Perry, as my wide receiver 7, we're doing it. And again, New Orleans, Michael Thomas, not likely to be back, so there is room for somebody to be there. And I think A.T. Perry could benefit a little bit from just not having that. It's a lot of routes, man. It's going to be gone. All right. I think we need a third tight end here. I have been in the bag for Dulcich in the past. Theo Johnson, elite athlete. Ben Sinnott, though, good enough athlete and still a guy that I prefer to Theo Johnson. Ben Sinnott, come on down, is my third tight end. We got a lot of guys we like today. The team so far with one pick still left. I feel like this team is loaded for how I'd view things, but Brock Purdy, Jaden Daniels at QB, Austin Eckler, Chuba Hubbard, Roschon Johnson, Kendre Miller, Zach Moss, Audric Estime, who we are not out on, and Kenneth Gainwell at running back, a wide receiver, CeeDee Lamb, Davante Adams, Deebo Samuel, Jaden Reed, Calvin Ridley, JSN, and A.T. Perry. An interesting mix of wide receiver. A.T. Perry's going to learn a lot from these guys. That's fundamentally what I believe. A tight end, Brock Bowers, Davis Allen, and Ben Sinnott. An unproven tight end room, but I like it a lot, man. This team, this is one of my favorites. This is bad news for all the people, the collaborative drafts you guys want to do here on stream, because this is one of my faves. This is great. This is great. I don't think Thomas retires, wants to prove he's still an alpha wide receiver. Yeah, look, definitely possible he's got a little more juice than it might seem. I don't think he was a bad performer last year. 0.16 EPA per target, 21% target per out run. That's enough juice. That's enough juice to get a job. It's just, you know, he's a little bit of a malcontent, so. But New Orleans kept him around, so maybe he's less of a malcontent than it seems on the outside. Bowers is not proven in the NFL. Davis Allen is more proven in the NFL than Brock Bowers is right now. But I do obviously believe that he will land on the good side of things. He's not an alpha anymore. That's true. His best situation would be being like a Julio Jones kind of role. But I think he'd be better at it. So, but, you know, he's got to accept that, which is sometimes the tough part for some of these guys. Feels like a Ravens signing. Oh, that would really muck things up. But it does kind of feel like the Ravens really are like that guy in your fantasy league who wants all the guys that were good in fantasy football 5 years ago. Like, that's definitely the vibes of the Ravens, which is why to me, the Ravens and Derrick Henry, a match made in heaven, just kiss each other. That's where we go here. Kind of impact would Janu have on Waddle if he signs there talking? He would definitely take some theoretical targets away from, I mean, from like fucking Schultz, who did not earn anything at all the entire year. So I don't think it impacts anything really. It's still going to be a Tyreek offense, a little bit of Waddle, and a tight end being a lower priority, but you probably see a few more touchdowns go Jonnu's way, because he can break anything for 70 yards, and he broke screens last year for the Falcons. So I think that would be the biggest thing, is that you just see a few less possessions going, but the overall volume doesn't change too much. Only for the whoring, I still have Stochastic up. So yeah, Stochastic Sims, a great tool for the stuff. You can use the marquee settings on the NBA Sims tool. That's actually what I'm going to go back to tonight after trying going down a notch to try to get lower stakes entries in, which is what Greg Ehrenberg recommended on one of his pieces of content. I was like, I'll give it a shot. I think my results are better with marquee, but I do enjoy their tools a lot for NBA. Again, the 150 maxing, $4 entry fees on DK. A lot of fun if you are somebody like me who's a little bit of a lapsed NBA DFS player and has not gotten enough time for me because of a child moving to the East Coast. So check it out for yourself if you want. I really would recommend it. Where am I pointing? There we go. One more pick, 2773. I mean, all this Michael Thomas talk, he'd be a natural fit here, no? Nothing that exciting here. I'm okay with Taj Washington. Though, again, all the guys at the combine running, having an explosive day is not going to help him out. Oh, let's get Dylan Labe. I hard to resist Dylan Labe. This is a pure luxury pick, and nothing screams luxury like Labe. I think we can all agree. All right, final team here. See all my drafting. Only drafting big boards on stream. It's how we keep ourselves sane for a year of drafting. Brock Purdy and Jaden Daniels are my QBs. Austin Eckler, Chuba Hubbard, Roschon Johnson, Kendre Miller, Zach Moss, Audric Estime, Kenneth Gainwell, and Dylan Labe, a.k.a. Dylan Lube, my running back room there. Wide receiver, an extreme zero RB room where I think we nailed it. CeeDee Lamb, Devontae Adams, Deebo Samuel, Jaden Reed, Calvin Ridley, JSN, and AT Perry. So good mix of floor here and one upside guy who I think should come up a lot, frankly, in the course of the offseason. Brock Bowers, Davis Allen, Ben Sinnott, a little bit more unproven at tight end, but Allen had a great run down the home stretch for the Rams, and there is no Tyler Higbee to start next year, if not most of next year. And Brock Bowers, I have a lot of faith in as well. So that's going to be our guys. Got a Dylan Lube in the end to squeeze into the finals for the big finale. There we go. Splash play, guys. Every single day. Actually, let's plug this. Underdog, promo code Splash. Double your deposit, $100. I didn't put out a big tweet about it because I didn't know that was what everybody's doing. I wish I got the memo. But go check it out for yourself. Promo code Splash on Underdog will double your deposit to $100. You can also get a mystery pick 'em on your sign-up. Support them. Of course, they support this show. And you signing up helps support the show. So do it for yourself. Do it for us. Stochastic, again, Sims Tools on there. Link in the description will take you right to Stochastic for your 15% off, or use the promo code on there. Any package, including all of their Sims packages, you get that for 15% off. So check it out for yourself. Really good deal. And frankly, their Sims products, I think, undervalued right now, especially for PGA, especially for MMA, especially for NASCAR. The sports industry are less covered. But for NBA, it's the only thing that'll keep you competitive. So check that for yourself if you're like me and you just want to keep playing NBA DFS, even though it's hard, man. Probably. That's my baby. Again, the best way to support Splash Play is support Splash Play. Hit the join button down below. Do all that. Second best way, support my sports betting app, Probably. Getting best bets for yourself. Build your bankroll for best ball by using data from the winningest sportsbooks around the world, allowing you to properly price bets and find plus EV ones over and over again. So use that promo code Splash to get yourself 50% off. It means $10 for your first month or under $100 for a year. Wink, wink, do that. Or 7-day free trial on the App Store. But there we go. Shout out to all these fine folks who helped me put on the show recently. Of course, you too can join and support Splash Play for $4.99 a month down below. You also get some exclusive perks coming up. We're also going to be doing our first person being invited on the stream. We also have to do some members only drafts. I have to figure out what to do with that because it requires coordinating with you guys. But more to come here, including the Spags rankings after free agency gets going. So lots to do that will be coming here for in the name of fantasy football. Have I hoard enough? I didn't even put my legs up. Oh, yeah. And I'm wearing shorts, fellas. So yeah, now you know. But I'll be back tomorrow with more, 11 a.m., of course, and responsible gaming, too. Go check that out. And I'll see you guys at 11 a.m. tomorrow for more drafts. So enjoy your days. Where's the fucking thing? Where's the outro? Good luck. Bye.